Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on.
GAA.
Welcome back to Game On. Okay, every Wednesday we try to fill the void of losing Ruby Walsh by inviting a legend of Irish sport in to join us. We know that's an overused phrase when it comes to sport, but not in the case of Ursula Jacobs. Having won 10 Leinster titles with Wexford, 4 All-Irelands and 4 All-Stars, we're delighted to have her in studio. Ursula, how are you?
Good, thanks. Great. Great to be here on a Wednesday. Sure, what else would you be doing? Exactly. Hanging out with us here.
Yeah.
Ursula, I have to say, of all the people that we've come into studio, I was really excited about you because your family are the ultimate GAA family. It must just be hurling, hurling, hurling.
Yeah, from a very young age. I don't think we knew anything else but hurling and camogie. But my parents, Mick and Breda, would have represented Wexford at inter-county level. So I think, you know, we were nearly born with a hurl in our hand. And then growing up, my two brothers, my sister, myself, were always out on the front lawn, down in the pitch every single day. And, you know, it was back then where we really got the love for it. We weren't forced into it or, you know, made play hurling or camogie, but it was what we did. It's what anyone does in Owlert, where I'm from. And nearly if you don't play the GAA down there, you're left out.
And Ursula, we chat about that, and especially with clubs. For you to actually win two as well, two All-Irelands, tell us about that.
Four, isn't it?
Well, two with the club.
Oh, two with the club and four with the county.
Four with the county. So, look, I have a 100% record in Crow Park. I've played 6 All-Irelands in Crow Park, 4 with Wexford, 2 with my club, and I've won every time. So it's not a bad record to hold when you're playing in the best pitch in Ireland.
So tell me about your mum, because from what I heard, she is always down showing everyone how to play hurling and camogie. She was a school teacher, like anyone that came through the club, she was the one who put the hurl in their hand.
That's it. She was the primary school teacher in Owlert, and herself and Breda Flood, who would have been the principal at the time, really developed all our skills and, you know, roped in my dad in to help him out in the school when we were 6, 7, 8 years of age. So from that time right up to senior players at the moment, you know, they've coached every young person nearly in the village, and Mam was really a driving force. And it was great to see even back then, 20, 25 years, that, you know, women were leading the way in the GAA club, and Mam is still there on the committee helping out and making sandwiches and doing fundraiser. And it's great that you still see her, you know, contributing, and she still loves it to this day.
Ursula, obviously she's contributing, but was she tough on your game? Would she like pick up, you know, coaching points?
Yeah, like, look, she was as tough on me as anyone else, but, you know, never overly critical, always very encouraging. And, you know, she didn't care when we were in school whether you were the best player or maybe not that into sport. She was just happy that everyone was out on the grass at lunchtimes, break times, whether you were with a hurl, a ball, whatever, as long as you were active. But yeah, it was handy at times having a teacher as your parent in the school if you wanted to run up to the shop for something nice.
You got used to winning very early in life though, Faelas.
Yeah, some of the best memories I have at underage level was winning the Faelas with my club, and luckily we won our Faelas in Wexford at the time. And when I think back, you know, we played Milford in the final, and some of the greatest players, you know, Anna Geary, Elaine, and the Watsons and that down there. So it was great. Brilliant memories and a real honour to win an All-Ireland title at such a young age as well, because it's such a prestige competition and still is to this day.
Do you know what's great as well, or what I enjoy, is that I know from listening to you that you're all treated the same.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's not always the case, Donegal.
No, not in our house. I'm my mum's favourite.
Well, people would have said I was the favourite because I was the youngest, but I don't agree. But no, Mam and Dad were always as equally as supportive to Helena and I as much as Michael and Rory. And it was great. You know, we all just loaded up into the car and off we went to whether it was a camogie match, a hurling match. And it was difficult at times to try and make all the matches and trainings because we were all going in different directions. But look, we'd have it no different either.
So when did you first make your intercounty debut?
I was 14 years of age.
I knew it. Wow. I knew it.
So it's a fairly memorable occasion. At the time, I was playing under 14 and I had broken my wrist a couple of months previous. And I ended up playing in the goal for the under 14s. And we won the Leinster final that year. And the senior manager at the time, Dan Quigley, who was a great Wexford hurler, was impressed with how I did at under 14 level. And I suppose maybe back then Wexford Camogie was struggling with numbers and whatever. So I got the invite in. And as a fairly shy under 14 player, being invited into a senior setup was a huge deal. And I went in, and I suppose there was no nerves, no expectations, nothing, because I didn't know anything about what a senior setup was going to be like. So my debut was against Tipperary, who were the stronghold of Camogie at the time, and we played in front of the Kerry Dublin game in Thurles that year when Maurice Fitzgerald got that famous point. So I remember that game so well. But I remember standing in the goal that day, and the first half, there was only a couple of hundred people there. But by the time second half started, there was thousands of people. And I think for the whole second half of the game, I was looking up into the stand at the crowd and taking in the whole experience. And I remember even sharing the dressing rooms at the time. We were sharing it with the Dublin footballers, which clearly wouldn't happen nowadays. And I remember Jason Sherlock coming out of the bathroom, and my eyes just lit up that I was, even in the same vicinity as someone like Jason Sherlock. So it was a great day. We didn't lose, we didn't win the game, but it was a great experience to be involved in.
But just there, as a 14-year-old, because we hear it so much that we have to protect young people and not throw them in. Like, how old were some of your teammates in that team?
Oh, sure. Look, at the time, they were probably in their 20s, 30s. It wasn't overly common back then. With Wexford, there was myself and Mary Lacey. And now there obviously is a rule nowadays that you have to be 16 minimum age, because probably 14 was a little bit premature. But look, as I said, I didn't know any difference and I didn't get nervous. I absolutely enjoyed it and played Wexford Camogie for 16 years.
I actually remember around then, maybe a little bit before you, but Veronica Curtin won All-Ireland with Galway, and I think she was 15 at the time.
Yeah. So it was pretty common. You had Claire Grogan as well for years playing with Tipperary, and she was in or around my age as well. So look, we didn't know any different, and it was, the girls that were in their 20s and 30s, yeah, they did seem that bit older, but from developmental purposes, I suppose, I felt like I was the same as them, really.
Yeah, and I think probably at club level as well, I think when you're from a small area, you end up in, like, who can play? Anyone can play, like, just get out and play, and away you go. You'd hear so much of, like, mothers and daughters playing, and aunts and nieces and that, but, like, you're right, because of the rule now, but even so, it's not so much anymore, because the training and everything is a lot different nowadays.
Oh, completely. And the training back then, was basic enough. You did a bit of ball work, a little bit of running, and off you went then. There was no strength and conditioning or diets or nutritionists, but it was a thoroughly enjoyable time. But thankfully my goalkeeping days didn't last too long, because I didn't overly enjoy that.
Everyone in Cork wishes you stayed in goal. What was your score in that 2012 final against Cork? Was it 2-7?
2-7, yeah.
Breaking our hearts.
And Ursula, like, from when you were small, like, were you, like, clearly you have the skills. Were you just always able to hurl? Was that it, like?
God,
were you one of those people that was always really good?
Sure, she had then, that hoax.
We had no other choice. I remember looking back at, we have an under 10 video at home, and looking back at it now, and I was playing in the forwards even back then. And I suppose, I don't think I've changed my style or anything, even from the age of 6 or 7, and I'm now 30 plus years age, so I think I probably always had a natural amount of skill, and then really worked hard on it, and just loved it. And when you love something so much, you'll do anything to improve and get better, and that's the attitude I've always had, that I don't think you can always be your best. You can always look for improvements every year.
Yeah, it's amazing. Marie was out and chatting to the under-15s, and she caught up with Rob Heffernan, and I found it really interesting what he said about his young boy playing. And I think it's a lesson for every parent to love it and enjoy it. And you're saying it was the exact same for you. You loved it.
Yeah, and right up until when I retired with Wexford, I enjoyed every moment with Wexford. 16 brilliant years. We won lots, we lost lots, but I just enjoyed the whole camaraderie, the friends I made, the memories I made, even the losses. You know, it made you stronger. You learned how to be more resilient in life and everything. So it's had a really positive impact on my own personal life, my work life now as well. And I'm still continuing to play with the club. So I'm still getting to enjoy it and playing with such a great club as Owlert. It's always a brilliant feeling.
Tell us about that first All-Ireland that you won.
Back in 2007, it's hard to believe it's going on 13 years. And, you know, I was still, 18, 19 years of age. And I just remember Stella Sinnott coming in that year and the professionalism that had come in with that year, and Stella's management team was second to none. You know, it was the first time where nutrition was taken on board. Even we were doing strength and conditioning, and it was just a really enjoyable year. And the championship was so competitive back then because we had 7 group games before we even reached the semi-final. So you really had to go about it the hard way. But I just remember, obviously, it was my first time playing in Croke Park, and we were coming up against Cork, who were going for the 3 in a row. So that was a massive deal. And they were probably going in as strong favourites. But we were quietly confident going in. But I just, the atmosphere and the buzz that was there that day, I'll never forget the screams of the kids that were there and walking around Croke Park. It's what you want to do when you're a young kid. And it was a brilliant experience. And it's funny, I don't remember a huge amount about the match, but I remember the simple things like, you know, getting to hug my sister after the game, meeting my parents after the match, the homecoming, you know, the thousands of people that came supporting us. And it was one thing that was always associated with Wexford Camogie was the support we had. And the thousands of people that were there that day was just something I'll always remember.
So Stella Sinnott, like, back then, was there a lot of women managing teams?
No, really, there wasn't, you know, and Stella really was a you know, trendsetter.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And she did a brilliant job and she got good people in around her, but her level of professionalism was just, you know, unbelievable. And she had us all in check and she knew when to get the best out of us and, you know, raised our confidence when needed. And even the simple things of making sure we had food every night after training, and they're the simple things that even teams nowadays are looking for.
I was about to say it's not happening all the time now,
you know. So even back then, which was 13 years ago, you know, in fairness to her, she just brought the standard of Wexford Camogie up to a different level, and you know, we owe her a huge amount for that. And she really led the way for women managing Camogie teams.
Just at that point when you win your first one and you're that young, do you think you're just going to do that every year now?
Yeah, I think that seeped into 2008 slightly. I think we nearly thought we were invincible and we were still celebrating. And I remember our team holiday, we ended up going to Florida and we headed off in the April of 2008. We were nearly still celebrating, you know, a full year on. So we didn't have we had a disappointing 2008, 2009, and we kind of only got things back on track when it came to 2010. But you did nearly think you were never going to lose a game again. And it took us, you know, 3 years to get back to Croke Park. And look, we had obviously a great run then. But definitely, I think we nearly got caught up in the hype of the celebrations and the excitement of winning too.
I'm going to play you a clip now and you can tell me what you were feeling at this moment.
All inside towards Ursula Jacob. Can she do it again? Oh! Magnificence! That's unreal! Wow, what a shot! From Ursula Jacob.
So what did you do there, Ursula?
I jumped. look, I think it's probably the most memorable score I'll ever get, really. And getting a goal like that on All-Ireland final day will always be special. And it was a brilliant final in general. The standard of Camogie that day from both teams was exceptional. And look, I don't think I've ever struck a ball off the ground since then, but at the time it was just massive. And, you know, in fairness, a lot of people would still mention it to me and, you know, give me massive credit for it. But look, at the end of the day, I was happy enough as long as we won the game. But it was a great strike, and I owe a lot to the surface of Croke Park for it too, you know. So
you all say that. I love the guy lines. Thank the groundsman. Thank everyone else. Like, looking at that goal, it's an incredible bit of skill. Ursula, you know, when you leave it all, like, for a second there, you're actually a spectator as well. You know, that moment where you're watching it.
Yeah.
What's going through your head?
Well, I knew at the time, I remember clearly the ball coming in, and I remember saying to myself, I have a split second here, and I didn't think I was going to have a chance to pick the ball. So I think I just hit the ball and hope for the best, and thankfully I struck it probably the best I ever did, and it was a crucial goal at a really important time because Cork had just scored a goal down the other end. And look, as any Cork team are, they'll never give in, and you really have to drive it home when you do get in front. So it was great, and to win the three in a row that day was extra special, and it's something that I'll cherish forever with Wexford.
Yeah, it just when you look at that, three in a row, like we chat about, that just shows consistency of performance. It shows unbelievable dynamic of a group as well.
Yeah, and we were so blessed that we had such a core group of strong, committed women who were willing to do anything to play with Wexford and win with Wexford. And JJ Doyle was at the helm for those 3 years as well. And again, he pushed us to places that we probably didn't think we could go to. And there was just such a united group there and a core group of girls, as I said, that were willing to do anything and would fight for each other on the pitch and off it as well. So it was a great memory. We all know how hard it is to even win one All-Ireland. So to win three will always be special.
Ursula, does it make it hard now when you think of what you had and then compare it to last year when Wexford were struggling to field a team at senior level?
Look, without a doubt, it was really, really disappointing to witness last year. And it was obviously the thing that anyone, whenever you met anyone in the streets or wherever, they would ask you, what's going on with Wexford Camogie? And it was very disappointing. I always knew there might be a little bit of a dip because a lot of girls were retiring or, you know, taking a time out from Camogie. But look, credit the county board over the winter, went in search of a new management team for this year. And Kevin Tatton is the new Wexford manager and he's a Cork native. So hopefully that'll be a good thing. And I think it's maybe no harm having an outside manager coming into it. You know, there's no there's no history there. You know, he's coming in fresh, new. He's got ideas. He's trying to get the standard back up. And hopefully in the next couple of months, they can develop it because they're in Division 2 of the league this year. And I think that will actually help gain their confidence, momentum in winning in a couple of games and hopefully pick things up again, like where it used to be a few years ago.
Is it different now for young girls and boys, men and women? Like, is it a case that maybe playing for your county doesn't hold the same allure as maybe it did for you when you started as a 14-year-old?
Well, I suppose when I was 14, maybe there wasn't other options, whereas now there seems to be so many other distractions. Mm-hmm. And maybe the commitment levels, some people, whether it's male or female, struggle with that. And playing inter-county Camogie, hurling, whatever sport you may play, like, it's huge commitment. And I think maybe you see it with some of the hurlers like Padraig Mahoney, who was only, 29, 30, retiring. It's the huge commitment levels, I think, maybe that people are struggling to find the balance and maybe the enjoyment is not there. So I think maybe that might be why some girls in particular may not continue to play for as long as maybe some of us.
So Camogie does get its fair share of criticism, we know that. But in fairness to the Camogie Association, they are now doing their bit to change what the players think that need to be changed, and they're going to trial some new rules in the league. There's six rules, I'm not going to go through them all, but what do you think is going to be the best one?
Definitely the minimal physical contact. Look, the game has progressed and moved on from even back when I started, and it has become more physical, and no one's promoting dirty play, but there is that element of, you know, there is going to be, it's not a non-contact sport. Playing Camogie is tough, it's physical, you know, you are going to get tackles, you are going to sometimes maybe shoulder each other. But I think as long as the intent is not, you know, there's no intent to be dirty on someone, I think it's okay. I think, and even though I'm a forward and I would have scored plenty of hand pass goals, I actually think getting rid of the hand pass goal and dropping the hurl is actually a positive move for Camogie, because to me there's not that much skill in hand passing a ball into the net. I think it looks so much better and that a girl can strike it into the net. I just, for me, that's a personal thing. I think the more that we align our rules with hurling, the better. And the penalty rule is quite interesting that we are moving it to only one in the goal as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the likes of Aoife Murray, Emma Kavanagh, whoever in the goals will deal with that. You know, it's going to be a bit of a difference for them. So I think it's really progressive, and it's important that to recognise the Camogie Association listen to the players and what they think.
I know the players didn't ask for the skirts to be gone, but what do you think?
I'm kind of 50-50 on it. Sometimes, I suppose a few years ago, I probably would have said the shorts, but I maybe think the skirts actually look well on us women. It doesn't overly bother me. I know we all train in our shorts, so maybe it's as well we all play in our shorts as well. I don't think there's really any fuss over that, but the other rules I think are that bit more important. And the other rule that's going to be interesting, where the free is being struck out with the hand. Now, I know it's going to be an indirect free, but it'll be interesting to see how teams will, you know, employ that, and will they use it.
One thing that always comes up throughout the year is the fact that Camogie and ladies football are still not under the umbrella of the GAA. Yeah. And you'll know, and anyone who's involved in ladies football and Camogie, know how difficult it is to get facilities, to try and plan fixtures, to try and plan matches, because they can't get pitches, and they can't get access to things that are essential if you want to grow your game. Do you think we will ever get to a stage where we're under the one umbrella, where all the sports are under the same umbrella?
Well, I'd hope we will, because I think that's the only way that Camogie and ladies football will fully move forward. You know, it's great. Next week, Cork and Waterford in the Camogie League are playing in front of Cork and Tipperary. That's where you need to align the games. Rather than having Cork and Waterford in the Camogie playing in some random pitch in Cork, it's great to see that they're going to get to play in front of the Cork and Tip hurling game. And that's how Camogie and ladies football will move forward and progress, because the more visibility that they get and the ladies' games get, the more it'll be promoted. We've seen in Croke Park this year, the Camogie finals, the attendance was improved. But you have to build on it from this time of the year. You need to keep working together and not fighting against each other and being stubborn about it. You need to be trying to see, how can you accommodate the dual players if there is still going to be dual players there? How can you get Camogie matches, you know, aligned beside big hurling games? That's how you're going to promote the game more.
So we don't really have a top two anymore in Camogie. We have a top three and a top four, really, if you count Kilkenny, Cork, Galway and Tipperary. Is there anyone else that could join that party?
I'm really excited to see how Waterford will do this year. I think Fergal O'Brien coming in, you know, Donal O'Rourke did massive work with Waterford, but I think Fergal O'Brien, and even the presence of Dan Shanahan on the line, I think it's going to be brilliant. And their experience, you know, even what they would have learned and from being involved with Derek McGrath and Waterford. I think Waterford are the really exciting team to look forward to this year. They fear no one. They were, you know, really close to knocking out Galway in the championship. And, you know, they were recognised for their efforts this year with Beth Carton and Lorraine Bray getting All-Stars. So I think they're the up-and-coming team. I think they're going to be there, thereabouts. And I think they'll give it a great shot this year.
So speaking of breakout stars, you were a breakout star in the punditry. Yeah. How did you enjoy it?
Really enjoyable. It's tough work. I have a greater appreciation for people on the other side of things now. You know, I've someone.
It's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, I've learnt loads in the last year, and I've met some great people, and it's still a bit surreal going into a studio and you're sitting alongside Anthony Daly or Jackie Tyrrell or Donal O'Cusick. And, you know, they've all treated me so well and were so welcoming last year, because it was quite daunting going into that environment. And look, I had a small bit of experience doing it with the Camogie, working on the finals, but coming into the environment of working on and analysing men's games is a different kettle of fish. And obviously there'll be people who'll always make comments of, oh, token female or whatever, but I don't really pay heed to it. And my attitude is, if I can talk about hurling, why can't Cyril Farrell talk about Camogie? You know, it should be just accepted that way. And I just want to be considered a good analyst. I don't want to be considered a good analyst for a woman. It should be just equal across the board. And it's, as I said, huge work involved in it, but I'm really enjoying it and, you know, roll on this year, and hopefully we'll have another great championship.
The hurling this year, while we're on it, like, again, it's one of those things which is great that you don't really know what's going to happen at the end of it. Like, you can't predict, like, you can't even really say, like, is there a top four? Is there a top six? Like, it's just like it's wide open again. So this year, who are you looking forward to?
Davy, they're going to win it.
Wexford. Look, and the thing is, as you said, Marie, even to get out of Leinster or Munster Championship, like no one would have expected that Galway wouldn't have got out of the Leinster Championship this year, you know, or Waterford would have been knocked out. So, look, I'm hoping for a really positive year with Wexford again. Davy has done huge work, and I think it was crucial that he stayed on with the lads because I think he has unfinished business. Look, they weren't too far away from beating Tipperary last year, but look, he'll know that there's not, you know, trying to get out of Leinster is going to be tough enough. And really, any team could win it. There's seven or eight teams that could really get there, but I'm still going to be a little bit biased and think Wexford are not too far away.
Well, you have a couple of good Claremen in there, so you know anything could happen.
There you go.
Look, Ursula, thanks so much for coming in. A great Camogie player, and I have to say, great company too, so you'll have to come back to us.
Thank you.
Let's take a quick break.
Game on.
On 2FM. Weekdays from 6.